All right, thanks for tuning in. This is Nate. We've got a fun discussion today with Phil Rokas. Phil was a plumber who did the rough-in work on our spec house project. Now, we're still kind of new at podcasting, less than 10 episodes, and we're still figuring it out. In this episode, we had a problem with one of the microphones. Luckily, it was mine, and so we had to do a little cleanup. If there's a little bit of choppiness, it was probably me re-recording some of the comments I made. Not because those comments are so important, but just to give a little more insight to the responses that my dad and Phil are making. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Thanks for tuning in. And if you have feedback, the comments on YouTube are probably the best place where we will see those. Hope you enjoy it. Phil, you did a lot of plumbing as a kid, helping your dad and such. Did you enjoy that?
No, I thought plumbing was some form of punishment. And there was no babysitters back then or that I knew of. Once in a while, we get a babysitter when mom and dad went out to dinner. But we went to work with dad. Dad was the babysitter, and Mike was real young, and he just sat in the cab of the truck all day long.
Wow.
And I was under the house staring through a block at my dad, yelling at me, hurry up.
He's tapping his toe on the ground, wondering why you're so slow at 9 years old.
No, I mean, we were little, 5, 6, 7, you know, on the job sites, and he'd just give us meaningless tasks just to keep us busy. Pick up all those 2x4s and put them in a pile. We get over there and he'd say, no, I wanted that pile over here. Uh-huh. And then we'd spend another hour putting it over there. And we were just working our butts off. Uh-huh. And we thought we were doing something.
Sure.
But it got so, you know, time as a child goes so slow compared to an adult that by the time you're doing that for till you're 10, from 5 to 10, you never wanted to see another pipe in your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And another problem was we'd just watch dad. He wouldn't really teach us things by the book. He'd give us, you know, examples like we were plumbing spec houses and Mike and my dad would do all the drain and waste and I would do all the water pipe because it was like a miniature production team just doing spec houses, you know, uh-huh. track homes. Uh-huh. So I soldered pipe when I was, you know, in fifth grade on these jobs. But I didn't learn
in place in the crawl space up against
the
joist.
Well, the flooring wasn't on, but I can remember just bending down and running under joists. Now it's all I could do just to get in there. But so it was all copper, and Dad really enforced how to do it. It wasn't just like go to town, kid. And he'd give us general ideas like 3 fixtures on 1/2 inch, and that's not scientifically true, but it worked out most of the time pretty darn close. And he would say, run 3/4 to this instead of just, you know, if he knew that there was going to be a little extra flow on some pipe.
And then he would go off and just let you do it.
Yeah. And so we learned a lot of tricks and little neat little tricks like, you know, he's really harsh on us, deburr every fitting. And we do service repair all the time, and we'd find a copper elbow that was leaking, and the back of it was blowed out of it, say. Mm. And we'd take it apart, and my dad would show us when we were doing the service work that they didn't deburr that pipe, and it was making turbulence as the water flew there, and it ate the back of that elbow out.
So he would show you without quite
so
the rule.
So why you were doing it. This is like, don't deburr it because I said so. You know, he taught us all kinds of common sense things that were good so valuable. But you'd say things like, if you don't deburr that pipe, that's why the pipes are noisy. You turn on the faucet, you know, you can hear when someone's running the hose outside, it's going, because a lot of times it was, you know, turbulence in the piping.
Interesting.
So later on in life, all the copper pipe we put in, we've changed a lot of it out. It wears out.
Is that because of the high mineral content of the water here? Or
both,
just because
all kinds of things. And
really?
We've had batches of bad copper where it reacted to well water with certain minerals in it or whatever. And there's a couple places that I keep doing repairs on this guy's house way out in the country. And I go out there and I could pinch that copper pipe with my hand and just go right through it.
Really?
It's so thin wall. And then it gets a leak and you have to go back and find some thicker part to just to hook to. But the PEX pipe is kind of bulletproof and forever-ish, I guess. We haven't had it that long.
Do you ever see plumbing pipe progressing past where PEX is right now?
I don't know. I mean, you had CPVC, which was just anybody could slap that on. You're just gluing it together, just like okay. PVC water pipe in your yard. Okay. The code won't let you put white PVC in your house. So they made CPVC, which is kind of yellowish.
Oh, okay.
For warmer water and things. So, and we thought, well, that's garbage. And that was, but it's, there's plumbers here in town that I've seen do great big 2-inch CPVC still to this day inside hotels and things.
Really?
I guess it's okay. I personally wouldn't really want it, just like some people wouldn't want flex duct. But yeah, it's sure. still used and it works fine. Yeah, it
does the job it needs to do.
And okay. They had what was that gray stuff in all the trailers?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like early PEX, and the pipe was pretty good, but the way they connected it had a funny clamp on it that was made of aluminum, and the aluminum would rot away, and then the joint would fail. So it was mostly the problem with it was the band clamp. And then they may have had some nice band clamps that were copper clad or something, but they wouldn't just oxidize off.
Sure.
But they had a big class action lawsuit on it, and everybody got a brand new trailer replumbed.
Okay.
But
so now PEX has obviated all that. I mean, the PEX material is magic, and it'll swell up and shrink around the brass barb if you want it to, or you can put the PEX band over there if you want super squeeze. And so all these things are like perfect.
It's the way to go, I guess. Everything has its little downfalls, and rats eat the PEX pipe.
And that's a real deal, right? That rodents will chew through PEX.
But you look at 500,000 homes plumbed with it, and 10 of them have a rat thing going on. And I've noticed that the bug sprayers will put decon under a house and then board the house up so nothing can get in and out, thinking they're keeping rats out. And they get so thirsty. I've seen them eat sewer pipes.
Oh, chew through a sewer pipe.
Because they could hear water running through it.
Wow.
Or PEX pipe. But the other thing I think is real, I don't know, animals will get next to something warm, like a warm water pipe, and make a nest, and they just chew on anything around them anyway.
Sure. Compulsive.
So, I mean, clean your kitchen so you don't attract rats.
Yeah.
Mike did a job where the tree rats are kind of an issue. They're like the ones that get you. They've gone right through copper pipe.
Really? Is that the same thing as a pack rat? That's a pack rat.
Probably. Right? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know my rats that well.
Yeah, they pack every little space full of acorns and twigs and plastic cups. And
So, I mean, some people just will not have PEX just because of that, because of animals will chew into it.
They read a news report and it scared them off.
Yeah, or just the neighbor had a problem.
Yeah.
If you have a customer who wants copper, do you just plain have to bill more?
Well, I explain how much more it'll cost, and then they call somebody else. The material is a lot more. The labor's the problem. A plumber's worth $12.50 an hour, but we can touch potable water, and we're licensed by the state, so we do what we want.
Yeah.
$100 an hour.
Sure.
And that irritates a lot of other tradesmen, too.
Why is it that plumbers have a reputation among the trades of being so expensive?
Because when a plumber shows up to your house and you look at this guy and you think, there's a high school dropout. And he's getting more money than I did with my bachelor degree.
Yeah.
It's just a cut and dry madness happens. Another problem is no one asks me how much I charge until I give them the bill. Sure. You charge how much?
Yeah.
And I often explain to them you can tell by their voice on their phone if it's some old lady that can't even pay her rent.
Sure.
And you have to warn them a little bit.
Sure.
And then you end up just doing it for them anyway.
So that's one of the reasons that I have enjoyed so much using you for the last 20 years in my remodels and stuff, because you can talk to the people and you're just brutally honest with them and a little self-deprecating, and you don't pump up any unreasonable expectations, and you're not afraid to tell them that, I'm horribly expensive, and people realize, whoa, this is just a human being doing the plumbing. And so it's really worked good.
It's best to let everybody know what's going to happen first instead of surprising them later.
If you can.
Yeah, you can always, but.
Plumbing's a different trade, and so it's not surprising that the billing is different also, just because a billable rate per hour is X. It doesn't mean that plumber's driving a Mercedes and owns three homes. I mean, the rate might be high, but it could be that it's tougher to bill a lot of hours. And so maybe that kind of makes up for some of that difference between maybe some other trade who can bill a lot of hours more easily. Maybe there's less driving around or something for them.
Yeah. You know, we ran, I don't know, 4 or 5 vans when we were little. And it seemed like all we did was go back and fix the stuff our employees were, you know,
callbacks,
tried to do right. But, and got to the point where it was just only the family was doing it. We couldn't hire anybody because we were, what we did was we got a new job babysitting.
Yeah.
Instead of, and the profit margin goes up, but it takes, after 3 or 4 vans, you start making money. You know, you got
to. But you got to bridge till you get 3 or 4 or 10 vans or whatever.
And that was a long time ago before. Yeah. That's, you know, a long time ago, people wanted to work, and now people want a paycheck.
Yeah, that's right. So, and codes were not as invasive and as unreasonable then?
Well, the plumbing codes haven't changed a lot.
Okay.
Since the dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah.
But yours change a lot. All the engineering wood and all that garbage.
Sure.
But, you know, plumbing hasn't changed a great deal. They've let you use mechanical vents now in certain situations, which saves a bunch of time.
But I've heard your dad talking about a fitting to be used here, a fitting to be used there. And then you said, no, you can't do that anymore, Dad. Oh, well, it worked fine for years. So there had to be some subtle, some small.
They do. They change movement. Little things all the time, but it's not massive.
Right. You know? But I think that's part of what makes a plumber worth money is he knows the codes. I mean, I can buy pipe and I can figure out, okay, it runs downhill and that means downhill and I got to make the corner and out we go. But it's just not right and it won't pass the inspection. And I guess at some level, it's likely not to work as well.
A lot of plumbers who don't do new construction don't know the codes very well, but they know how to find out an answer because they know how to read the code book.
Sure.
So it's not like a mystery thing. You can figure it out. Just look the code book. But no one seems to want to research it. They'll just kind of ask somebody else, hey, is it okay to do this?
Way faster.
And then that irritates the inspector because his job isn't to train the plumber. And that really makes him mad after a while. You know, how long have you been doing this, they'll say. I don't do a lot of new stuff, and I have code questions quite often.
Sure.
And I'll ask my brother or my dad just to refresh my memory. Sure. And they've gotten wise to me where they'll say, it's in section 602.
Look it up, Phil.
Dummy. Just stop and open the book and look at it. But
yeah. Nobody makes money with the book open, that's for sure.
Now, that's another deal where some of these plumbers are there just to make money. And they're the smart ones, really.
Yeah, you know, they're the businessmen.
You know, you spend your whole life working so you can quit working, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you spend your whole life babysitting the world to make everybody happy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you figure it out after it's all over.
Yeah, look, in the rearview mirror, you think, I should have tried to make some money.
65, you figured out how you should have done it.
But. Would you advise a kid today to get into plumbing as a career?
Yeah. Any vocation that uses, you know, something besides just your brain or a computer, you're going to be fine because we've run out of laborers and workers, skilled workers.
Seem to have.
You know, I hated plumbing. Right out of high school, I was never going to plumb again. And I'm a machinist. And I went and became a machinist right out of high school for years and came back after Dad decided to retire. And so I've only been plumbing again for 20 years. Mm-hmm. But looking back, I worked really hard as a machinist and made no money. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was because I wanted to be an inventor or produce a product. Mm-hmm. And so you're just living on dreams.
Yep, yep.
And so you didn't get anywhere and you were rich for 6 months and dead broke for 6 months and worked really hard compared to what do I do now. Mm-hmm. You know, I go change a toilet flapper and get $100.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you don't think too much as a plumber. You kind of do, but nothing like what I used to have to think. Now I've grown extra stupid because I don't think anymore.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. We'll talk about your drones and your mastery of drones and hacking into GoPros and hot wiring to we'll talk about that one of these times.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But so I know that Mike and his boy Dan's kind of starting in on plumbing. That's probably a good move for him, yes? I mean, he's a hard-working go-ahead kid, and it'll give you a skill he can always use.
Sure, and it's getting a young person motivated because it used to be that the motivation just the last last couple decades was go to college,
yeah,
and go get a job and make a whole pile of money.
Yeah.
And now you can actually make you don't have to make a pile of money to be happy. You can just be comfortable.
You have to have enough.
And I'm surprised that he was excited to do it. He didn't want to apprentice with his dad for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he got he's apprenticing with another outfit that's a heavy commercial, and I think that's great because he'll learn. You know, he works with his dad all the time on the weekend.
Sure. So he's going to pick that up.
Learns all kinds of good stuff. And then he's going to learn all the big stuff that you don't usually get your hands on.
Yeah. He'll be a good plumber.
So, and he's really mechanically inclined. You know, he races dirt bikes and rebuilds the motors. And, and all of us seem to be kind of that way.
You're
everything
all that way.
We had when we were little, we just tear it apart. Mm-hmm. Really irritate dad. You know, get something for Christmas and it's all way apart the next day on the bedroom floor. He'd look in there, shake his head, and go to work.
So, in this house that we're building, you're plumbing for us, you had, I think, what's a really good idea to come down the wall in the dining room with cast iron pipe. How's that going to work? What does that do for us? What's the ramifications of that?
I mean, it's not a big deal, but it's more or less just to kind of show people what, and it's not like super labor intensive to do it. I mean, it's a straight pipe. Mm-hmm. Where we're planning on doing it, there'll be a Y sticking out that picks up another drain also. So it'll show us how to put a few fittings together.
Good.
And, how to cut a cast iron pipe and things, but there's a couple types of cast iron and we had to plumb our plumbing shop when I was a kid. We built a plumbing shop with an apartment upstairs. We lived in it. And the code said it all had to be cast iron because of the fire marshal more than anything, I believe. They used to think that, ABS would catch on fire and it'd kill you. The smoke would. Just like you have to have a earthquake bracket on a water heater because during an earthquake, that water heater will fall down and kill you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's what it is. So over time, we lived in that thing. After 10 years or less, all that cast iron started to rot away and would drip through the ceiling. And it had all kinds of, that was spun cast. And where they cast it and it's spinning as they cast it. And that's how they make it. And it just seems it was real thin compared to the old days. The old days, there was like a casting seam on it. Mm-hmm. And the stuff was quarter inch thick or better.
Heavy. Yeah.
And that stuff is what you find underneath a house a lot of times. And I tell people that stuff's great. It's bulletproof. And, and the lines coming into it would be galvanized pipe and they would rot away. So the main trunk under the house often is great and they do want their whole house repiped or plumbed when often it was just a few legs that were bad just save them $1 million is all just by doing that halfway. But so some cast iron was bulletproof and some of it's junk.
Interesting.
Now on a vertical leg we're going to possibly do, that spun cast iron isn't as quiet as the good old stuff.
Oh, really?
See, because it's not so thick. So you talk about, let's throw some cast iron there and make it quiet. It may not be that much more quiet rather than if you had solid core PVC, foam core, like water pipe PVC.
Right.
And put tar. They make this tar junk insulation for soundproofing your car, the floorboards and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's say, I'd never done this, but it's just speculating. You put that stuff around a pipe if you think it's going to be noisy. And after the whole place is plumbed, you might want to slap that stuff around there after your plumber's done.
Sure.
Just as yourself, if you're,
just wrap it.
So I don't think it's that big a deal. And if you're ever in a house and you hear upstairs toilet flushing and you hear it right in the wall, maybe the wall is right next to the dining table.
Yeah.
Your ear is a foot away from the wall. Maybe that's the, but other than that, it's probably not worth.
And we're in an exterior wall there where there'll be insulation already around that, right? Fiberglass?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
whereas the interior wall might just be touching the drywall, like reverbing.
Right. And you put a 3-inch pipe and a 2x4 wall, and it takes up every bit of it and bows the sheetrock. So it's just something to think about, probably more on a real high end home than a spec house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is not a high end home. That's right.
So whether you guys want to do that or not, it's kind of content as far as how do you deal with a cast iron pipe.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, we poured lead. Still, to join a pipe.
Well, what is it now?
Rubber coupling. So they have a rubber coupling with two hose clamps. The hose clamps are built into the outer sheath of this coupling. So, and then you have a fern coat, which is just a rubber tube with two hose clamps on it. The no hub couplers, what you'd put it together if you're using a, doing a whole system. So you can take a, they make no hub couplers that'll adapt from copper or plastic to the cast iron, you know, so that you can join it correctly.
Cool.
It's super simple.
All right. Now, we've been talking about, and we've talked several times, and had a visitor by the site today from Canada, a friend of Nate's, who has an on-demand gas hot water heater, and he just loves it. His, the cost of his utilities have just plummeted. And you have been telling us that you think it's a way to go. You still think it's a way to go, and you got an eye on which one we ought to do?
Yeah, I was kind of scared of them, you know, 15, 20 years ago when they first came out. So I let that whole thing simmer and weed out the garbage. And so they figured out how to make them. But if you had to fix it, back in the old days, your gas water heater went out on Thanksgiving evening. You ran down to the hardware store and bought a thermal couple for $10 and fixed it. Now it's like a brand new car. You have all these codes and you call support and you talk about it a bunch and they send you a part, overnight it. All right. We're on our way, kids. I plug the part in and then a new code comes up. Well, this thing here is bad too. Not always. And, but what I found out was they're super reliable. Kind of like a new car, you know, and back in the day, your car went 100,000 miles, you threw it away. Or you left it alongside the road where it last ran. Now, you know, you get 200,000, 300 out of a car no, without ever even working on it. Same with these things. They seem to be pretty reliable. But if you're paranoid about these things, you could put an electric water heater as a storage tank, more or less. And then if that thing failed, you just hit the breaker on it and run it. But it's not the, you know.
Ideal.
Not ideal. I mean, the stuff's, just because it ain't plugged in doesn't mean it's not going to wear out. You know, soaking in water all the time. Who knows? But
you've flown a drone around our spec house site several times, maybe dozens of times at this point. What can you tell our audience about that?
Well, I've been poking the drone around, but it was only for hobby use. That's the point. There's our little stipulations as whether you can use a drone footage for commercial purposes. So we're leaving that out. And I have an app on my phone that gives me permission to fly as a recreational goof off. And I've gotten permission to fly. We didn't want to fly there because the airport landing leg was in the way. And I can get permission to do it, but my dad's a pilot. We know all the pilots in Roseburg. They don't have nothing to do with a drone. So it was out of respect to them that I didn't want to ever throw this up. But, you know, we're only flying 80 feet off the ground for a few minutes. And it's just for my own personal joy. We also built a drone on a rope so that you can use pictures yourself.
Well, the point is, for those of you who want to take a look at that footage, we can't put it on our channel because ours is monetized, but Phil can, and he has a channel that we'll link to, or he will someday. Let's just say someday, hopefully we'll get that footage in a place where you can take a look at it from above. It's, I've seen it. It's really pretty neat.
But the camera on the rope gives you all kinds of similar perspectives that you guys can use. So there'll be a little bit from that.
And we'll have to do a whole kind of breakdown of that, machine, really, which you basically invented. You said you wanted to be an inventor, and you pretty much have, because this machine's pretty cool, and it's been put together from parts and pieces of
the garbage
of all kinds of stuff. It's really pretty incredible, and it works beautifully. In fact, we'll put a little bit of the footage from that in here as a teaser for everybody. So, all right, thanks for coming, and thanks for watching, listening, everybody. If you have specific questions for Phil or for us about any part of this discussion, the comments in YouTube on EC2 is the best spot for us to see those. So take a look there, and we will be paying attention. Thanks for listening.